Chapter 120. That he might, in short, be too susceptible, for she is a beautiful creature, sir, just what her poor mother was, and falling in love with her, before he knew well his own mind, carry pain and sorrow into that innocent breast, which we would be the humble instruments of gradually making happy. He took an extraordinary interest in her fortunes, when he first happened to encounter her, and we gather from the inquiries we have made of him, that it was she in whose behalf he made that turmoil which led to your first acquaintance. Apostrophe, Nicholas stammered out, that he had before suspected the possibility of such a thing, and in explanation of its having occurred to him, described when and where he had seen the young lady himself. Well, then you see, apostrophe continued Brother Charles, that he wouldn't do. Tim Linkinwater is out of the question, for Tim, sir, is such a tremendous fellow, that he could never contain himself, but would go to loggerheads with the father, before he had been in the place 5 minutes. You don't know what Tim is, sir, when he is aroused by anything that appeals to his feelings very strongly. Then he is terrific, sir, is Tim Linkinwater, absolutely terrific. Now, in you we can repose the strictest confidence. In you we have seen, or at least I have seen, and that's the same thing, for there's no difference between me and my brother Ned, except that he is the finest creature that ever lived, and that there is not, and never will be, anybody like him in all the world. In you, we have seen domestic virtues and affections, and delicacy of feeling, which exactly qualify you for such an office. And you are the man, sir. Apostrophe, the young lady, sir, apostrophe, said Nicholas, who felt so embarrassed, that he had no small difficulty in saying anything at all. Those, is it she a party to this innocent deceit? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, yes, apostrophe, returned Mr. Cheerable, at least she knows you come from us. She does not know, however, but that we shall dispose of these little productions, that you will purchase from time to time, and, perhaps, if you did it very well, that is, very well indeed, perhaps she might be brought to believe, that we made a profit of them. Eh? Eh? Apostrophe, in this guileless, and most kind simplicity, Brother Charles was so happy, and in this possibility of the young lady being led to think that she was under no obligation to him, he evidently felt so sanguine, and had so much delight, that Nicholas would not breathe a doubt upon the subject. All this time, however, there hovered upon the tip of his tongue a confession, that the very same objections which Mr. Cheerable had stated to the employment of his nephew in this commission applied with at least equal force and validity to himself, and 100 times had he been upon the point of avowing the real state of his feelings, and entreating to be released from it. But as often, treading upon the heels of this impulse, came another which urged him to refrain, and to keep his secret to his own breast. Why should I, apostrophe, thought Nicholas, why should I throw difficulties in the way of this benevolent and high-minded design? What if I do love and reverence this good and lovely creature? Should I not appear a most arrogant and shallow coxcomb if I gravely represented that there was any danger of her falling in love with me? Besides, have I no confidence in myself? Am I not now bound in honor to repress these thoughts? Has not this excellent man a right to my best and heartiest services, and should any considerations of self deter me from rendering them? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asking himself such questions as these, Nicholas mentally answered with great emphasis no. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and persuading himself that he was a most conscientious and glorious martyr, nobly resolved to do what, if he had examined his own heart a little more carefully, he would have found he could not resist. Such is the sleight of hand by which we juggle with ourselves, and change our very weaknesses into stanch and most magnanimous virtues. Mr. Cheerable, being of course wholly unsuspicious that such reflections were presenting themselves to his young friend, proceeded to give him the needful credentials and directions for his first visit, which was to be made next morning, and all preliminaries being arranged, and the strictest secrecy enjoined, Nicholas walked home for the night very thoughtfully indeed. The place to which Mr. Cheeryble had directed him was a row of mean, and not over cleanly houses, situated within the rules of the King's Bench Prison, and not many hundred paces distant from the obelisk in St. George's Fields. The rules are a certain liberty adjoining the prison, and comprising some dozen streets in which debtors who can raise money to pay large fees, from which their creditors do not derive any benefit, are permitted to reside by the wise provisions of the same enlightened laws which leave the debtor who can raise no money to starve in jail, without the food, clothing, lodging, or warmth, which are provided for felons convicted of the most atrocious crimes that can disgrace humanity. There are many pleasant fictions of the law in constant operation, but there is not one so pleasant, or practically humorous as that which supposes every man to be of equal value in its impartial eye, and the benefits of all laws to be equally attainable by all men, without the smallest reference to the furniture of their pockets. To the row of houses indicated to him by Mr. Charles Cheeryble, Nicholas directed his steps, without much troubling his head with such matters as these, and at this row of houses, after traversing a very dirty and moldy suburb, of which minor theatricals, shellfish, ginger beer, spring vans, greengrocery, and broker's shops, appeared to compose the main and most prominent features, he at length arrived with a palpitating heart. There were small gardens in front which, being wholly neglected in all other respects, served as little pens for the dust to collect in, until the wind came round the corner, and blew it down the road. Opening the rickety gate which, dangling on its broken hinges before one of these, half admitted and half repulsed the visitor, Nicholas knocked at the street door with a faltering hand. It was in truth a shabby house outside, with very dim parlor windows and very small show of blinds, and very dirty muslin curtains dangling across the lower panes on very loose and limp strings. Neither, when the door was opened, did the inside appear to belie the outward promise, as there was faded carpeting on the stairs, and faded oilcloth in the passage, in addition to which discomforts a gentleman ruler was smoking hard in the front parlor, though it was not yet noon, while the lady of the house was busily engaged in turpentining the disjointed fragments of a tent bedstead at the door of the back parlor, as if in preparation for the reception of some new lodger who had been fortunate enough to engage it. Nicholas had ample time to make these observations, while the little boy, who went on errands for the lodgers, clattered down the kitchen stairs, and was heard to scream, as in some remote cellar, for Miss Bray's servant, who, presently appearing and requesting him to follow her, caused him to evince greater symptoms of nervousness and disorder than so natural a consequence of his having inquired for that young lady would seem calculated to occasion. Upstairs he went, however, and into a front room he was shown, and there, seated at a little table by the window, on which were drawing materials with which she was occupied, sat the beautiful girl who had so engrossed his thoughts, and who, surrounded by all the new and strong interest which Nicholas attached to her story, seemed now, in his eyes, a thousand times more beautiful than he had ever yet supposed her. But how the graces and elegancies which she had dispersed about the poorly furnished room went to the heart of Nicholas! Flowers, plants, birds, the harp, the old piano whose notes had sounded so much sweeter in bygone times, how many struggles had it cost her to keep these two last links of that broken chain which bound her yet to home! With every slender ornament, the occupation of her leisure hours, replete with that graceful charm which lingers in every little tasteful work of woman's hands, how much patient endurance, and how many gentle affections were entwined! He felt as though the smile of heaven were on the little chamber, as though the beautiful devotion of so young and weak a creature had shed a ray of its own on the inanimate things around, and made them beautiful as itself. As though the halo with which old painters surround the bright angels of a sinless world played about a being akin in spirit to them, and its light were visibly before him. And yet Nicholas was in the rules of the King's Bench prison. If he had been in Italy indeed, and the time had been sunset, and the scene a stately terrace. But, there is one broad sky over all the world, and whether it be blue or cloudy, the same heaven beyond it. So, perhaps, he had no need of compunction for thinking as he did. It is not to be supposed that he took in everything at one glance, for he had as yet been unconscious of the presence of a sick man propped up with pillows, in an easy chair, who, moving restlessly and impatiently in his seat, attracted his attention. He was scarce 50, perhaps, but so emaciated as to appear much older. His features presented the remains of a handsome countenance, but one in which the embers of strong and impetuous passions were easier to be traced than any expression which would have rendered a far plainer face much more prepossessing. His looks were very haggard, and his limbs and body literally worn to the bone, but there was something of the old fire in the large sunken eye notwithstanding, and it seemed to kindle afresh as he struck a thick stick, with which he seemed to have supported himself in his seat, impatiently on the floor twice or thrice, and called his daughter by her name. "Madeline, who is this? What does anybody want here? Who told a stranger we could be seen? What is it?" I believe, the young lady began, as she inclined her head with an air of some confusion, in reply to the salutation of Nicholas. "You always believe," returned her father, petulantly. "What is it?" By this time Nicholas had recovered sufficient presence of mind to speak for himself, so he said, as it had been agreed he should say, that he had called about a pair of hand screens, and some painted velvet for an ottoman, both of which were required to be of the most elegant design possible, neither time nor expense being of the smallest consideration. He had also to pay for the two drawings, with many thanks, and, advancing to the little table, he laid upon it a banknote, folded in an envelope and sealed. "See that the money is right, Madeline," said the father. "Open the paper, my dear. It's quite right, Papa, I'm sure. Said Mr. Bray, putting out his hand, and opening and shutting his bony fingers with irritable impatience. "Let me see. What are you talking about, Madeline? You're sure? How can you be sure of any such thing? £5, well, is that right?" Quite, said Madeline, bending over him. She was so busily employed in arranging the pillows that Nicholas could not see her face, but as she stooped he thought he saw a tear fall. Ring the bell, said the sick man, with the same nervous eagerness, and motioning towards it with such a quivering hand, that the banknote rustled in the air. "Tell her to get it changed, to get me a newspaper, to buy me some grapes, another bottle of the wine that I had last week and I forget half I want just now, but she can go out again. Let her get those first. Now, Madeline, my love, quick. Good God, how slow you are. He remembers nothing that she wants. Thought Nicholas. Perhaps something of what he thought was expressed in his countenance, for the sick man, turning towards him with great asperity, demanded to know if he waited for a receipt. "It is no matter at all," said Nicholas. "No matter. What do you mean, sir?" Was the tart rejoinder. "No matter. Do you think you bring your paltry money here as a favor or a gift, or as a matter of business, and in return for value received? D.N.U., sir, because you can't appreciate the time and taste which are bestowed upon the goods you deal in, do you think you give your money away? Do you know that you are talking to a gentleman, sir, who at one time could have bought up 50 such men as you and all you have? What do you mean?" I merely mean that as I shall have many dealings with this lady, if she will kindly allow me, I will not trouble her with such forms, said Nicholas. Then I mean, if you please, that we'll have as many forms as we can, returned the father. My daughter, sir, requires no kindness from you or anybody else. Have the goodness to confine your dealings strictly to trade and business, and not to travel beyond it. Every petty tradesman is to begin to pity her now, is he? Upon my soul. Very pretty. Maidline, my dear, give him a receipt, and mind you always do so. Apostrophe, while she was feigning to write it, and Nicholas was ruminating upon the extraordinary, but by no means uncommon character thus presented to his observation, the invalid, who appeared at times to suffer great bodily pain, sank back in his chair and moaned out a feeble complaint that the girl had been gone an hour, and that everybody conspired to goad him. When, apostrophe said Nicholas, as he took the piece of paper, when shall I call again? Apostrophe, apostrophe, this was addressed to the daughter, but the father answered immediately. When you're requested to call, sir, and not before. Don't worry and persecute. Maidline, my dear, when is this person to call again? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, not for a long time, not for 3 or 4 weeks. It is not necessary, indeed. I can do without, apostrophe said the young lady, with great eagerness. Why, how are we to do without? Apostrophe, apostrophe urged her father, not speaking above his breath. 3 or 4 weeks, maidline. 3 or 4 weeks. Apostrophe, apostrophe, then sooner, sooner, if you please, apostrophe said the young lady, turning to Nicholas. 3 or 4 weeks. Apostrophe, apostrophe muttered the father. Maidline, what on earth, do nothing for 3 or 4 weeks. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it is a long time, ma'am, apostrophe said Nicholas. You think so, do you? Apostrophe, apostrophe retorted the father, angrily. If I chose to beg, sir, and stoop to ask assistance from people I despise, 3 or 4 months would not be a long time. 3 or 4 years would not be a long time. Understand, sir, that is if I chose to be dependent. But as I don't, you may call in a week. Apostrophe, Nicholas bowed low to the young lady and retired, pondering upon Mr. Bray's ideas of independence, and devoutly hoping that there might be few such independent spirits as he mingling with the baser clay of humanity. He heard a light footstep above him as he descended the stairs, and looking round saw that the young lady was standing there, and glancing timidly towards him, seemed to hesitate whether she should call him back or no. The best way of settling the question was to turn back at once, which Nicholas did. I don't know whether I do right in asking you, sir, apostrophe said Maidline, hurriedly, but pray, pray, do not mention to my poor mother's dear friends what has passed here today. He has suffered much, and is worse this morning. I beg you, sir, as a boon, a favor to myself. Apostrophe, you have but to hint a wish, apostrophe returned Nicholas fervently, and I... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.